the ghouls next door. Come into our dungeon. Yeah. Or our laboratory.
Scary voice.
It's good. You're doing a good one.
I thought so, too.
Hi, welcome, listener.
Hi. Normal voices again. Cool.
Yeah, we won't pull that off for a long time. We are not good at it forever. Welcome to The Ghouls Next Door, a creepy podcast about creepy stuff.
Yeah.
And this is the month of October, so we're talking about our classic horror genre people.
Yeah, the real originals.
The OGs.
Of horror.
Yeah, and this is our 29th episode. We're going to be talking about two very important, talented men who are the beloved monster men.
Yeah.
Of the silver screen.
Mm-hmm. So we got Bela Lugosi and Boris Karloff.
Yes.
For your ears tonight.
Yeah. These guys. They transformed horror. It was a stepping stone. It was a milestone. Horror wasn't really a thing. And then they showed up. And now we're here.
They did the whole thing. They were just like, yeah, you know, you didn't know things were scary until a minute ago. And now I'm here. So it's scary.
Excellent.
Cool. Yeah, we did a great job talking about it. So,
yeah. So, I mean, so the reason why I want to talk about Bela Lugosi and Boris Karloff is we talk about three writers who attributed. And these two actors happen to play a lot of these characters on screen.
Yeah, they got typecasted like anything else. And we're basically put in every single scary movie during the time of like the, I want to say like it was the 30s.
Yep.
Just like the entire 30s.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit into the 40s.
Yeah.
And they were just every spooky thing that existed during that time.
So if you don't know who these two gentlemen are, Bela Lugosi is the original Dracula.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the 1931 Dracula. That's the one where you hear like, we want to suck your blood. The accent and the cape and the piercing eyes and the bats that kind of flap weird. Mm-hmm. All of those things came from Bela.
Yeah.
He's great. And then Karloff is the original Frankenstein. He was the one that you see with the flat head and the bolts in his neck and he walks all weird. He
looks like his shoes were 13 pounds.
Yes. So yeah, these are the two men who really pioneered that movement. And so we're here to pay them some tribute.
Yeah. Welcome. Join us.
Won't you?
Please.
I would say, so in college, I took a class and I did a small report on Boris Karloff because of the problems in Hollywood with casting white actors in roles that they shouldn't be, which they still do. So the fact that Karloff donned essentially yellow face to play Dr. Wong or Mr. Wong.
Mm-hmm.
And so he, like, they put makeup and like prosthetics on his face to make his eyes look Asian and then like changed his skin tone. And then he had to talk in an incredibly racist accent.
Mm-hmm.
And we couldn't hire just
actually
a person
Asian
who
person.
Can actually play this role.
Yeah.
And that was just during the time. And it spoke for the racism that was happening in California against our Asian immigrants at the time as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say, like, Karloff is to blame. I think, you know, he played roles that were given to him, and that was one of his more famous ones. And if anything, I mean, Bela also played a Mr. Wong. Not the same one, but happens to be there is a good number of Mr. Wong's happening,
yeah.
Played by not Asian like people. And so it's kind of an idea to think about, like, the fact that they were both more or less foreigners. Karloff being an English foreigner who had an East Indian heritage, so he's a little tanner.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bela, who is Hungarian. And had an accent.
Yeah, very thick accent.
So I was wondering, like, why do we take these two foreign and or ethnic actors and cast them as monsters or as cultures that they are not?
Yeah.
It's a whole question.
There's lots of questions around it.
In that time. There's a lot of questions about that just time.
Like life during that period. That whole like time, you don't want to go back in time. Nope. Joke kind of goes to that. But yeah, I definitely didn't do any of that in school. I didn't really know who they were until I saw the movies.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like an educational thing. It was like, oh, that's happening now. More so.
I did go to film school.
So. Yeah, I know. And it makes a lot of sense for you to know this stuff and to like have a class on this. Where like most of my stuff was just like, war, it's bad.
What is it good for?
Absolutely nothing. All right. But yeah, I like Karloff better as an actor. That's kind of all I got in terms of my personal feelings. But I definitely felt for Bela and his like life situations. I feel like he did kind of, because of like a lot of things, language barrier, et cetera, like have a harder time. But yeah, I definitely thought like Karloff was a stronger actor.
Absolutely. And we're going to kind of go into quite possibly why Karloff might have been, you know, a better actor or seemed that way, and maybe was more of a crowd favorite and for several different reasons. And we're going to talk about that. So join us on this journey to the classic horror of the classic horror film world.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. I'm on board. So, you know, because I'm here, but also you guys join us.
Yes. For please. The OG monsters.
Woo.
Ready.
Facts. Yeah, facts. Wait.
Welcome back.
Yay.
As we talk about facts.
We're still here.
Those spooky facts. So Kat and I indulge in a lot of films and did some research on these gentlemen. And I will say that some of my primary research came from a lovely podcast that everyone should check out, which is You Must Remember This, which has a 5-part amazing series on Boris and Bela. And we'll go way more in depth than we will. So if you really have an itch to satisfy with this content, check them out. I just want to start with that.
Yeah, yeah.
Give they're credit cool where voices. Credit's due. Absolutely. So I want to talk about Karloff specifically. So here's what his deal is.
Tell me.
Karloff is an English actor. And what's interesting with him is that he was born with a stutter and a lisp, and he walked bow-legged.
Huh.
When he grew up, he eventually got rid of the stutter. He learned to conquer that, but the lisp always remained, which kind of, I think, attributed to his acting.
Mm-hmm.
And like these characters that he could be and how he can portray them kind of worked in his favor. But yeah. he's not going to be the suave, like, gentleman that Bela is going to be, because yeah. that's not
his whole thing was never sex appeal. It was always, I'm ugly. And then I was like, no, you're not, though, dude.
But he's like nice. Like, yeah. he would be less endearing. Like,
why you gotta be ugly to be nice? Yeah. Oh, it hurts. All right, continue.
So I would say, fun fact, his best known non-horror role is that he was the Grinch. As the narrator in the animated television special of Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Wait, what?
Yeah, so we've all grown up with him, listening to him tell us this story.
Voice. That's so fun. I never knew that.
Yeah.
I learned also.
Excellent. Another fun fact. So Karloff is the actor for Frankenstein. He plays Frankenstein's monster, Frankenstein. So if you want to learn more about the creation of Frankenstein, you can check out our Mary Shelley episode.
Yeah.
This is about the film and about the actor, because he did a lot of great stuff. He played in a lot of things often. He was a very versatile actor, but he played a lot of just random side gigs, to the point where, like, when Frankenstein premiered, like a week or so later, or around the same time, another movie premiered that he was also in, where he was just like henchman number one. So he was simultaneously having a breakthrough while his like lesser known parts were like coming through. he starred in so many movies, or was in so many movies, that Frankenstein happened to be his 81st movie.
Yeah, that's late, especially since that was like his big one.
Yeah, and he was older too, so it was a big deal for him to be an older gentleman and to still somehow find it. But of course, that's, you know, the old age Hollywood. Men can keep on doing, and ladies, you're done. Now you're old. Get out of here.
Sad.
Frankenstein actually wasn't technically considered a horror film because the term horror, like as a genre, was first used in 1934. So it was a few years early.
Yeah.
So it was probably just like a thriller.
Yeah, this is stressful.
Yeah.
This movie makes you feel stressed.
Yeah, especially that. So movies like Frankenstein and movies that Karloff and Bela tend to star in, they are usually double features. So you would go and you would get two films, usually like a B-rated horror movie and then theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just like you just go through some junk and then you maybe get some gold, or you go through their junk and then you get the other person's gold.
Yeah.
Kind of deal. yeah. A fun thing about Frankenstein was that it kind of received the first trigger warning, because there was this rumor that when it first aired,
mm-hmm.
That people in the audience got really scared and left. They were like legitimately upset. So there would be a guy who would come out and he'd be like, hey, the director has to tell you guys that he is warning you that the things you're going to see are unsettling. And if you have a weak stomach, you need to leave, essentially.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Because, like, also, I mean, I'm sure back then anything that was on the screen was scary. But also, like, it's just goofy. It's, like, the first Paranormal Activity. But,
yeah.
Like, back in the day.
Exactly. Because, like, one of the first films was, like, a train going by. And mm-hmm. It was known as the first horror film because everyone ran out because they thought the train was real.
Yeah.
Which is stupid.
People were dumb.
But it was, like, it was new technology. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
But, like, the trigger warning was cool in that it warned people so they knew what they were getting into, but it was also cool because it kind of dared people to stay.
Yeah.
It was,
I could,
like,
see that.
Yeah. It was like, only if you dare remain here and watch the horror that is Frankenstein. And then people would be like, yeah, I could handle that. And even if they were terrified, they were going to do that. And considering, like, what the propaganda there is for films these days,
mm-hmm.
where they just show trailers of people in the audience freaking out. They don't even have to show you what the film is about.
I hate that too, where it's like you watch a whole preview for something, you're like, what is this? Why am I gonna pay money for that? It didn't tell me what was gonna happen.
It's better, I think, than those trailers that tell you everything that happens.
No, that's also,
it's like,
fair.
Now I've seen the whole film and I don't have to go.
This did not need to be 2 hours.
You've changed. Yeah, I didn't realize I tuned in to watch an entire movie. So for Frankenstein, Lugosi was also offered the role first for the monster, and reportedly said he didn't want the role because the character didn't speak. But rumor has it that it was because the director and the rest of the team considered Karloff a better actor.
I'd say both were probably factors in some way.
Yeah, because when you think about it, like, Bela's strength is speaking,
mm-hmm.
and being like this weird,
he's not
creep.
Yeah, like, he's scary in his, like, creepiness,
intensity.
Yeah, and not so much in his, like, ah, horror. Like, he's not a brute kind of guy.
Yeah, and I think he plays villains a lot better than he does with someone who's trying to evoke sympathy,
mm-hmm.
which Karloff was really good at. Like, you could really sympathize with this monster who didn't want to be here and now is here, and, like, is, you know, just trying to fight to understand what he's doing here. And Karloff can do that without words. And Frankenstein was a crazy film. Like Kat said before, Karloff's shoes in this film were about 11 to 13 pounds each, which, that's heavy, and he had to do that all by himself. The flat head that we know and see, it's due to the idea that his like scalp was cut off. Mm. And so to kind of show like surgery. And then he was painted green because they knew it would look gray on screen, like as opposed to what like people colors would look.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of why we get this green Frankenstein. But, mm-hmm. you know, really, he's just supposed to be really gray, pale.
Because he's supposed to be pale.
Yeah.
And like dead and stuff.
Yeah. A fun fact, again, is that the makeup artist for this look, who created this amazing thing with help from Karloff, was Jack Pierce, who was previously a baseball player.
Multi-talented people all around.
He was like, I don't want to do sports. I want to make art on people's faces.
But dad won't let me dance in the garage.
Yeah. So now I make art on your face. I make monsters, father. Monsters.
Yeah. Like,
you're going to go in the backyard and you're going to play catch with me. We're bonding.
No, I want to make monsters.
It's the 1900s, son.
Son, child. We'll find you a child bride soon enough.
That's his trend. Karloff did all his stunts in Frankenstein, which took a toll on him in that he would have to throw people. He wore all of these. He wore these heavy shoes. He did just a lot all by himself. And it really, honestly, could take a lot from someone. Yeah.
Yeah, it's heavy. It hurts. Throwing people's probably stressful.
Yeah, and then you do it, like, take after take after take. Like, he did not have a stunt double. Mm-hmm. He was just him. And he does it without any complaints. Like, there's a lot where he should have spoken up and he just didn't because he didn't want to be inconveniencing.
Hey, like, see, I like him better.
He's a nice man.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah. And then he, again, this is like 81st film, but he was still considered such an anonymous actor that he wasn't invited to the premiere of Frankenstein. He was the monster.
That's insane.
He's the whole thing and he wasn't invited.
That's rude.
Yeah. Between 1938 and 1940, Karloff appeared in 5 films. Those include Mr. Lee, the Chinese detective, or Mr. Wong, the Chinese detective. And then also just a bunch of kind of like weird horror films as well.
Yeah.
And then another fun thing. So they played in both he and Bela, who we're going to get into, really... stole the corner like market of horror films, and they started a lot of films that were advertised as being based on Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah.
So, which was our first episode in this series. And then we have Frankenstein for Mary Shelley. And then another fun thing is that Karloff had starred in a film that was based off of or inspired by H.P. Lovecraft, and it was called Monster of Terror.
So, you know, he really was a part of each person in our classic horror series.
Yeah. It all comes together, guys. Full circle. I found it. I found all the links.
Connect them.
Yes.
Little dots.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about that other guy. Bela Lugosi. Do I say it right?
Bela.
Bela Lugosi.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Cool. Well, he was, you know, Dracula. Dracula was one of the first horror films for talkies.
Yeah. So Bela was a great actor for silent film because mm-hmm. he was Hungarian, so he had an accent. So for a film like Dracula, it was the first time we had talking. Like, so we're out of the silent era. This is the first horror film during that time.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. And he had to learn all his lines phonetically.
Oh, that's a cool fun fact.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, he had a lot of trouble, I think, with the whole accent thing, though, and it kept him away from, I guess, getting the same recognition as Karloff because, you know, he had that accent and language barrier. Mm. Yeah, so basically he was quickly typecast as anything Dracula-esque as a villain, and it was basically because they were the same person. You know, Bela was Dracula, and his whole thing was the character, and you can't really go too much past that. Whereas Karloff could actually like disguise himself, use prosthetics and makeup, and then he would take them off, and then he'd be him, and he'd do other things.
Yeah, he'd put on different prosthetics and different makeup, and now he's a different person.
I'm a different villain or a person, you know, yeah. People. But basically, he had a really hard time getting anything that wasn't a horror film, which really hit hard when in the 1930s, they basically were like, no, 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 horror films are scary in Britain. We're not doing that no more. But he also served in World War One, which ended up kind of messing him up later because he got sciatica from all his injuries and whatnot. And that made like acting and like doing stuff pretty painful from World War One. But the one we watched is he was in The Raven with Karloff and was paid less than Karloff despite being the lead actor.
Yep.
So yeah. He was very bad at negotiating contracts and like basically sticking up for himself and like kind of honestly like contradicting how I would think he would present himself because he seemed like a pretty like confident dude.
Yeah, but he was also kind of a mess because... considering the sciatica and the injuries from World War One, he developed a addiction to morphine and methadone.
Mm-hmm.
So like that totally throws him off. And I really think he might have been able to do a lot more for himself if he was completely in control of his faculties and didn't have to like get shipped off to rehab all the time.
Yeah. So he like wasn't doing too good, like physically. But there was it definitely he got hit hard in the 30s before he kind of had his big comeback because like horror films were basically like, no, 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 we're not doing that anymore in Britain for a few years. So he would usually lose roles to Karloff, honestly, because Karloff could do other things.
Yep.
And then he would audition and then not get the role because he just got really severely typecasted. But, you know, in a continuing on. The sad end.
Yeah.
There's some fun rumors, I guess, sort of like how Mary Shelley had fun rumors about herself.
Yep.
Well, he died while lying in bed in Los Angeles apartment. He was 73. And the fake rumor, it's not real, is that he was clutching the script of The Final Curtain, which was the movie he was planning to work on with Ed Wood. But I was told it's not true.
Oh.
But it was still like a fun fact.
Another fun napping or sleeping or dying while reading a script is that despite the fact that people say that Bela and Karloff were not friends, during the filming of The Black Cat, there was like a promotional photo that they took where it was essentially Karloff and Bela were both had fallen asleep after reading the script like next to each other. Like they were that's nap cute. Pals.
Yeah.
So that's they're a fun friends. Time. Thing to say in lieu of the weirdness of his sad tragic life.
Yeah. And apparently he did have a son and they buried him wearing his Dracula cape, and it wasn't like said that he wanted that, but the family kind of was figured. Just like we want to honor him and like in his best role where he was like doing his best and like not as sick and kind of in his prime. That he can like have that even when he's gone.
Yeah. And another fun thing, just because this is The Ghouls Next Door, is that he worked closely with Ed Wood on a lot of things. So there's a film about Ed Wood where you can see some kind of not so positive images of Bela. But in real life, he worked with Ed Wood on several ghoul films.
A Ghoul Goes West.
And The Phantom Ghoul.
It sounds great.
Which, yeah. I want to go Ghouls Go West.
Yeah, it sounds fun. I'm definitely a fan.
We've watched so many movies with them, but I keep wanting to watch more. I just want to get a big projector and just, like, watch them outside. Just, like, one after the other. Just, like, not double feature. Just, like, infinity features.
That does sound nice. They were just like funny, like all like, and I mean it's because we're watching them now where we are so desensitized.
We're messed up.
Yeah, we basically you could show us the worst thing and we'd be like, all right, well that was fine. We're like, this is just like, oh, look at them do their stuff with the spooky things running all around, laughing, so all dramatic. Maniacal, having light shine in their eyes the whole time. It was cute.
Absolutely. Yeah, I would say I really enjoyed learning about them and the kind of drama that goes with them. And we'll get more into it when we talk about the actual films in themselves and kind of like the way things worked. But there was definitely some situations in that Karloff was kind of like the same way that we enjoy him more. Mm-hmm. The audiences enjoyed him more. Not to say that they didn't enjoy Bela. He actually, when he was doing plays,
mm-hmm.
he was known as this like sexy man. And the idea was that husbands would drop their wives off at the plays to be like, okay, women, just get out of the house, go enjoy yourself, do whatever you want. So these are obviously suppressed women. And so they would watch Bela in all his sexy glory, like on stage with that accent and those piercing eyes. And they would write him letters and like tell him all this stuff, like these love letters of just like, you've awakened something in me and all.
Oh my
like
gosh.
And that's like the wave that he was riding on when he ended up in America. So when he got Dracula, which is just like the sexiest vampire, like he started sexy vampires, mm-hmm. you know, like this
no,
is why
true.
Like Interview with a Vampire is a thing. This is why we have like fantasy novels with like sexy like when I remember watching one of the Twilight films because I was a dumb teenager and my aunt was like, this is really dumb. And she was like, the vampires I know are sexy. Like they were intimidating and dangerous and alluring and, you know, like intense and
they had like
fierce.
Knowledge that was secret that you weren't supposed to know.
They were smart. And that was like, that was a part of the attraction. And they just like lure you in and bite your neck seductively. And so then you have like glittery, like
angsty sparkle
teenagers
vampires.
Yeah, so it's kind of funny and him coming in, he always still had that, and throughout nearly all of like the films that we watched and some of his more famous ones, he's always this handsome sexy man who,
yeah, he was always like wooing the ladies with like the like face caress.
Yeah,
it was real subtle.
Yeah,
and he did it every single time. And I was, I mean, honestly, he was a good looking guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. And even Boris Karloff was as well, which is so sad that, like, he just get put in these gross face, like, mm-hmm. disformities. And
they were like, you're just ugly now. Go
like,
ahead.
We're going to make you a mummy. We're going to make you Frankenstein. We're going to make you this deformed guy where his eye's broken. Like, you. And then it's like when you see him normally, you're like, what is this handsome man doing? Who's
yeah,
that?
He's normal.
Yeah. I think
it looks good.
I think Bela really played well with being the charming guy. Even and then he always was like, it gets really like kind of creepy and like uncomfortable when you're looking at it in today's world of like mm-hmm. these young women who are getting swept up by this man. And he's like essentially like manipulating her or like taking her against her will, like literally just like putting her in harm's way. Because he doesn't get what he wants. But at the same time, like during that time, he was still really sexy for being this character. Like he's a villain. He's plainly the villain. He is bad. But you're still like, but you know, would I be so upset if he kidnapped me?
It's definitely the beginning of the bad boy.
Yes.
Craze.
He's the OG bad boy.
I just want that angry guy who's misunderstood. I can change him. You can't. He will bite you and you'll die.
He's like... Honestly, I feel like he's the start of like the romance novel man, which is like thinking of Christian Grey of 50 Shades of Grey. There's like a whole trope of romance novels where you have this guy.
You don't want to be with me.
Yeah. You have a guy who's like super rich. He's super powerful. He gets stuff that you're not going to get. And then you get this like pathetic, normal, like regular woman who's just like, it's such a gift that he's even paying attention to me, like of course. And so I feel like that started like there, like I'm sure it existed before him, but it's like really strong here
mm-hmm.
in like how overtly he is a villain and you're still like, well
like yeah, that'd be cool.
I'd be one of his
where you want to go
brides sleeping in coffins.
You need me to be undead, all right,
that's fine,
anything for you.
I think that he does really well. And then Karloff is just really good at being a spooky guy that you feel real bad for.
Yeah, he definitely invoked a lot more sympathy where I think Bela just like didn't know how to do that as much. He was more the suave, kind of like, I got this.
Yeah.
Kind of guy where he wouldn't like show that vulnerability, even though he had a lot wrong with him. So maybe he should have.
Yeah.
Like, but then Karloff really had the advantage where you like, he really was able to like pull in sympathy and like emotion in a not like, I'm aroused kind of way, but in a oh my god, you.
Yeah. Come here. You would very easily,
you poor babe.
Like, a lot of the women are like, in one of the films we'll talk about, there's like a line where the woman apologizes and she's like, I scream because I didn't expect you to be there, not because of how you look. Mm. Like, she's trying to like, you'd be like, no, no, you're fine. Like, you're beautiful. And he's just like, oh, I'm ugly.
I'm scary.
I need to leave.
I'm spooky, scary.
Spooky, scary man. And that's like his whole thing. But I think Bela, having been the sexy playman where all the women wrote him letters and he peaked as sexy Dracula, I think it kind of, in a way, got to his head, and he always felt like he deserved more, but he never, like, in my opinion, really fought for more. Like, even when you look at how much money he'd make versus how much money Karloff made, like, continuously, even if he was the headlined actor, like he was named first, he would make significantly less than yeah. Karloff. Like, he just never fought for himself, even though, despite like thinking that he deserved more. And Karloff was even like, was like quoted essentially as saying, like, Bela's an amazing actor. He's really talented. He did great work over there. And then he came here and he kind of just coasted, and he's not trying. He's not learning the language more. He's not putting himself out there. And it's really tragic. And then Bela took that as like fighting words.
Yeah. Essentially. And they were mad at each other for yeah. a while.
He was like, well, it's just because you put on makeup. Like, that's all you are. You're not an actor. You're just a mask.
Yeah.
That's mean. Me be friends.
You know what, honestly, it seems like he just had a really hard time being like vulnerable. That was his whole yeah. thing. Like, he couldn't really fight for himself or like be real, I guess.
Yeah,
because he was just like, this is what you offer, that's what I take.
Yeah. And he was so desperate because mm-hmm. he would not get enough, so he'd take whatever.
Yeah, and yeah. I think that period where he, like, couldn't find work for a yeah. while really messed with him. Because that is also a time when, like, he just had his son in mm-hmm. that time period. It was, like, the 30s, right before, you know, he started to kind of have a second go.
Yeah.
He had just had his son, and, like, he had to take care of him, and he had to, like, borrow money from, like, the actors' associations
yeah,
or whatever.
The Actors Guild.
So that he could, like, afford to take care of his kids. So, like, there was
a
lot
pride.
Of... There's a lot more factors in there where, like,
mm-hmm.
he didn't feel like he could ask for more because he, like, had such a long period of, like, not having anything going on, and he had his family
he
gotta
take
care of.
He needed to take whatever he can, yeah. And I think it's... You know, this is a lesson to all men out there. It's okay to feel your feelings.
Yeah.
It's okay to be down on your luck sometimes and then get back up. You get knocked down, you get up again.
They're
never going to keep you down.
They're never going to keep you down.
Bela, get up. Do it. We love you.
But yeah, I definitely say he's more of the, like, toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
Like, I can't
yeah.
show that I just got to act like this is all the things and I'm cool. And then Karloff was definitely like, I make you feel all the things, so give me more money.
Yeah, well, and he was like, you know, art is art. He mm-hmm. took whatever, and he loved it, and he did it, and he worked hard in everything he did. And he didn't complain, even when he really should have.
Yeah.
So these are two different, like, men, you know? These are mm-hmm. just two sides of the spectrum, and so, like, exciting that they got to share the screen so often.
Yeah.
And, actually,
and they were good together. Like, even if they didn't
yeah.
like each other, they were extremely entertaining as, like, you know, I guess, what you said the word already. Co-somethings?
Co-stars?
Co-stars, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and actually, Karloff's daughter said there really isn't any truth to them not liking each other. Like, they had some quarrels, sure. But honestly, they were pretty decent friends. Like, not, like, friends.
But yeah,
but
I mean, if you're working with someone that closely, you have to at least be like, oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah, cool, they cool. were civil. They worked well together on, like, set. And they weren't, like, best friends, like, going out to dinner and stuff. But
mm-hmm.
they still were cool with each other.
And there has to be that, like, mutual respect of, like, we're the big guys in this.
Yeah, we're both stuck being monsters.
Yeah.
Like, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
So that's still cool.
Monster
yeah.
Mash, let's be friends.
It's the monster. I want to Monster Mash. Bela Lugosi.
Films. Yeah, films. Yeah, films. We watch some films. So let's talk about those films. And all that spooky stuff. And all that spooky stuff.
Welcome back. Can I hear me? Okay. Yeah, welcome back. So as I had said previously, Kat and I watched a lot of stuff.
Woo!
We watched many a black and white film and trailer and clip revolving around these two lovely gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're going to talk about is Dracula. I already kind of talked about Frankenstein, so we're not really... Like, and you know the story. And you now know the cool stuff about it. But we will talk about The Raven, which is one...
It was just
supposedly
great.
Inspired by Edgar Allan Poe, but then also features both of them acting together.
And it was honestly, like, I'm not going to lie, 95% of it, I was like, what's happening? What is this? But then also it was great. Like,
yeah.
It was extremely entertaining. I didn't even care that I didn't understand what was happening. I was just like, oh, look at them do their thing.
Yeah.
Everyone's, this is so cool.
Yeah. And it's, and like kind of like where it comes from, it's just like a few years later and there's already like a significant, I think, difference in the way that it's telling. It's silly. It's not the best. Karloff actually did not like it. But specifically, let's talk about Dracula. So Dracula was created in 1931, or premiered in 1931. And this is like the first horror film when we could talk. It notoriously did not have any music on it because sound and like talking was so new, and it was like this thing that people had to get acclimated to,
mm-hmm.
that they did not put music in there because it didn't make sense unless the music existed in the world, unless the music was happening in the action.
Yes.
Yeah. So there was no music. So later there's like music, and the music that's put on there is just from Swan Lake, I think. Or no, Nutcracker.
Yeah.
It's in the Nutcracker. So it's like real weird. But if you don't know what Dracula is, it's based off of the book by Bram Stoker. It follows the ancient vampire Count Dracula as he arrives in England and begins to prey upon the virtuous young Mina. And it is directed by Todd Browning, who is a phenomenal director of the time, and worked to essentially revitalize the horror genre. And this, mm-hmm. is like before horror was a name for it, but it was like, we're gonna revitalize scary and monsters, yeah. and creep you out. So
yeah, it was like, it's just like funny because it, as I was saying before, like it came out in the time where like they're like nah, but then they're like no, yes,
yeah,
and then they really did it.
Yeah, well, because it the way they did it was so different.
Mm-hmm.
They took it very seriously. So The novel by Bram Stoker was actually technically already filmed without permission and was named Nosferatu in, mm-hmm. 1922 by expressionist filmmaker F.W. Murnau. Bram Stoker's widow had sued for plagiarism and copyright infringement, and the courts decided in her favor, so essentially ordering that all prints of Nosferatu be destroyed. You can still find them, though.
Yeah.
But this was like the real deal. Like, they got permission. They checked all the boxes. They chose this one to be the start. It's our starter horror film.
Mm-hmm.
And it just totally, like, people were like, wow, this could be a thing. Because it didn't rely on just, like, gore. It didn't rely on a big monster.
There was a big story. That's what it was.
Yeah, it was this person. And he's attracted to Mina. And he needs her. And then it's, like, the discovery of of him. And my favorite scene is when he's talking to Mina, and then Dracula's talking to Mina, and Van Helsing is like kind of weirded out by Dracula and how intense he's been, especially regarding Mina, and just like, I don't know, they're already like suspicious. And there's this whole thing where he's having the scene and he kind of looks over and there's a mirror.
Yeah.
Like a tiny mirror that's like showing, and you just see Mina and like he's not there, and he does like a double take and he's like, what? He's there. He's not there. He's there. And then another guy walks up to join the conversation and he looks at the mirror and there's a guy, blank, and then her. And he's just like, what? This is bizarre. And it's like,
so bizarre.
It's just so funny to see it all coming together. But it's like, that must have been a whole moment, right?
Oh,
where
for
people
sure.
were like, finally. And then it's like, Van Helsing. It's, yeah.
I loved his little friend.
Yeah.
His crazy friend.
Oh, yeah. Who loved him so much.
It was the whole time. He was so creepy and evil, and I loved him so much, and his eyes were nuts. And he was my favorite thing from the movie.
Yeah. I think his, what is really cool about Dracula is their use of, like, putting light directly on his eyes to kind of show his, like, hypnotism.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, like, really cool. Renfield is who you're talking about.
Yes, cool.
Friend. His, like, nerdy guy who just, like, falls under his spell, and he's like, I need to do my master's bidding. And he loved him. Like, he was, that, like, all the time.
It was creepy. It was great. I loved it so much. I was like, oh my god. I don't know why I love this so much. I was like, marry me.
He was super cute. He was very handsome.
He was cute as anything. He was just also, like, the worst, but also the greatest.
Yeah, and
that's my husband.
He played that actor, Dwight Frye, has played in monster movies as well.
You could definitely get that vibe. He would be like the henchman in a lot of things.
Yes, he's a lot of henchmen. He's played a Pinky, a Spivey, Pavlov's secretary, an arsonist.
Ooh, yeah. Fun.
Just looking at his IMDb here, and it's a lot of just small man at rally. Jenkins. Mac. Yeah. So
I like that his name's Mac. He could be a Mac.
Yeah. Carl.
Carl.
Chick. Fritz. Jessup. Yeah. This seems real. Yeah. He tends to play these, like, weird people. He was really cool. He was a great contribution to this film. And Baylor's just really wonderful.
Yeah. He's great in it.
He's really hypnotizing. He does the whole, like, the cape comes up. And he, like, peeks over it. And then, like, one of my favorite scenes is, like, where she can't sleep and the window's open and the bat is just, like, hovering.
Yeah, that was funny.
Flapping its wings. It's so funny to watch now, but I can imagine then and being, like,
they're like, wow,
how did they get this bat there? What? Who is it? Is it Dracula?
They're freaking out.
Yeah. That I would love to kind of see how that went. That seems wonderful. Yeah, he's super alluring, he's super charming and intense, as is his way in this film. It does really good job of, I can see why it revitalized it.
It does really good job.
It does good job.
Good job does.
It does a good job of doing it.
Yeah.
It gets it done. He is the reason why it's so good.
And I agree.
I can see really why people were like, wow, you do this forever.
You can't do another thing. This is it.
Yeah. And I mean,
this is the best thing that you can do.
His accent is like, that's why we're like, we want to suck your blood. Like, that's him. He did it entirely.
He definitely just like defined what vampires would be for like the next 60 plus years.
Now everyone knows what you didn't. Like, you guys have just been repeating that and you didn't even know who to give credit to.
It's him.
It's him. It's excellent. We also watched The Raven,
which I thoroughly enjoyed and thought both of them were fantastic in. And Gabe and I both had a moment halfway through where we're like, why does everyone not like Karloff, though? In terms of, like, he was like, I'm so ugly. I was like, babe, nah.
He's got a beard and he's just like, I'm hideous. My whole life they've been calling me hideous. And it's like, are you? Who's been calling you?
I don't think you are.
Send them over to me because I'm going to set them straight because you're handsome. He was so pretty.
Yeah.
He was like ruggedly handsome. And then he had a beard too. It was just like, okay, then shave. Are you upset about
this? Like, is that what it is? I don't get it.
Yeah. So here's, I'm going to give you the plot from what you can find online. And then I'm going to tell you what it's really about. So it is about a brilliant surgeon who is obsessed with Edgar Allan Poe. And he saves the life of a beautiful dancer and goes mad when he can't have her, right? Which is
what men do, apparently.
Especially him. You can't deny him a lady. Are you kidding?
The current political climate's painful. Continue.
Yeah. So this is so it is about a surgeon who saves a young lady. So a young wife. She's gonna be a wife. Which is Bela. Bela is the surgeon. He is the lead role in this, which generally he wouldn't be. It would be flopped or flipped, mm-hmm. Usually when they played. So he is a surgeon and he saves her life. They come beg him. For some reason, he's the only surgeon who can save this woman's life. And he does. He skillfully. And then the woman's hanging out with him and she like falls in love with him. Mm-hmm. And there's this scene where she compliments him because he's playing the piano. And she's like, you're so talented. You're not only a skillful surgeon, but you're also a musician. You're like a... and he goes, a god. It's like, what?
That's not... You can do two things.
You can't you're a just god self-proclaim now. Yourself. Like, you can't just be like, I'm a god because I can play the piano and I saved your life. You owe it to me. And so she's like, clearly, she's so significantly younger than him. She... Like, he's old enough to be her grandfather. And creepy. She's, like, falling in love with him because he's, like, one, he's this suave man that, you know, once saved her life. She was super friendly.
At a certain age, suave turns into creepy real quick.
Oh, 100%. And that's why she's very conflicted. Like, she's due to marry someone appropriately aged.
Yes.
And she's clearly, you know, struggling with her attraction to this man who she should not. It is not right. And it's definitely, I think, kind of like synonymous with like when you go to a therapist and then you're like, now I'm attracted to this person because they know all my life and I'm like in love. Like they understand me and they fix me.
Mm-hmm.
Like that whole thing that happens where they're like, people are worried that there'll be relations.
Like, I know I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I love you.
Exactly. So her father, the guy who was like, please save my daughter. He comes back and he's like, listen, she's got feelings for you and that needs to stop. Like, you know, that's gross. You know, it's unhealthy. So don't come around no more. Don't be her friend because you're, you know, giving her the impression that she should keep doing it. And she's a professional dancer. She needs to focus on her life. And he's like, how dare you? I'm a god. He just again, throws a big man
proclaiming
fit.
I am a god.
He's just a big man fit. And then meanwhile, like, him being all angry, it like cuts to this man played by Karloff who comes in and is like, I'm hideous, please fix my face.
And we're like, no, babe, your face is fine.
And he was totally handsome. He wasn't even hideous. And then Bela is like, nah, I'm not a plastic surgeon unless, yeah, I'll fix your face if you do this favor for me. And Karloff's like, I was going to pay you money like a normal exchange because that's how money and like services work. That's how we do things. And he's like, I have the money. It's in my pocket because that I don't know, but I have it. And he's like, no, that's fine. I don't need your money. I just want you to do a favor. And he's like, I'm not going to be your indentured servant. Like, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, okay. Then sure. I'll do it the normal way.
For money.
Definitely believe me. And then he goes under a knife and he comes out and he's even more hideous. He's actually literally hideous now. Yeah. His face is all sunken. His eye is all messed up and doesn't work. And Bela's like, well, now you're ugly and the only one who can fix you is me. So now you still have to do that favor I asked you earlier.
He's so like, dude. Rude.
And then the favor is like, he essentially creates this elaborate house of horrors where he has like in his basement, he has a swinging pendulum, like the pit in the pendulum, and like this like crazy house where one of the rooms becomes an elevator. And then there's like the scene where the guy like goes to open the door after the room has been elevated down to.
And it's like, oh, yeah, that's not there no more.
He flies out and he's like dangling from the doorknob, which is reportedly got laughs from the audience. Like the audience was like, that's kooky. That's a kooky that situation. Great. And then
you have so much fun here.
The last like parts of the movie is just like all these levers. And he's just like, bae,
I'm messing up your day now.
He's like,
now
bae, your day. Turn off the telephones. This is one lever. And then he's like, turn down all the shutters so they're locked in. This is another lever. I know what words are. And then they eventually end up in the basement anyway. And they're like fighting him. And he puts him in their magical room where the walls close in on him. And then Bay gets his whole new idea. And he's like, actually, fuck you guys.
Yeah.
He's like, actually, I'm going to change this. And he undoes the lever and releases them, and then he gets shot, and there's a whole epic battle. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It was really silly. And even Karloff was like, this was a a half-assed idea. This was a not thought out idea with a lot of like cool little situations happening, but there was no logic to any of it. He was like, this
I thought it was great.
He thought it was so dumb. Yeah. And in this film, there's like a part where he, Karloff is like a grunt, and it's essentially the Frankenstein grunt, yeah, or the Frankenstein's monster grunt.
Hmm.
So you get a little peek at that and you're like, ah, remember, that's probably why we're watching this terrible film. Like back in the day, that's what people thought.
No, I liked the film. I thought it was great. It was super funny. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Everyone watch it now.
Yeah. And this is the one where even though Lugosi is the headliner, he made $5,000, whereas Karloff made $10,000 for this.
Gotta speak up for 15 yourself,
days
man.
Of shooting. 15. That's all I did. So it was, this is a good one.
I mean, he was also great in the film. I mean, I'm just saying, it was a great movie.
I really enjoyed it. I mean, especially because, like, coming from it as, like, we're already at this weird stage where everything looks kind of funky.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all kind of going to be on the same par. Like, they're all outlandish to us. So I can see as, like, at the time, people were like, this is really weird. But now I'm like, this is totally up my alley. I love it. I want it.
I'm just like, all of this is great.
Yeah. Sign me up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So watch that. We tried to watch Black Cat. We couldn't find it. So if anyone has access to that, give it to us.
Because we want to watch it.
We do. And the thing is, like, it's called The Raven, but he just, like, kind of quotes The Raven at the beginning. And then he says that The Raven is his, like, talisman or something. And the guy's like, you're a doctor. Why do you want a raven, which symbolizes death? And he's just like, don't ask me about it. Oh, my God. Do you Kay. See my beautiful piercing eyes? I'm a handsome man. Don't question me. Send me your daughters.
Oh, <no.
laughs> It's all Lugosi's stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Cool.
Feelings. Yeah, feelings. Yeah,
feelings. Yeah, I said feelings.
Let's talk about feelings.
Okay. It'll be suave, handsome vampire.
Yes.
Or if you like it.
Yeah.
It's essentially Bela Lugosi, Dracula.
Mm-hmm.
Versus ink, sparkle, glitter vampire.
Okay.
If you don't like it.
Okay.
So let's talk about the gentlemen themselves.
Sexpire.
Sexpire. Yeah.
Sexy, suave.
Baby, will you light my sex pyre?
You can suck my blood. What's up?
Ew, gross.
It is gross.
That's gross.
I'm gonna say it is.
You can bring this body back to life.
I'll be undead for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're just making a Valentine's for you real early.
You drive me batty.
Shut up.
That's one. I enjoy them. I think Karloff was a better actor, but I still enjoy both of them.
I agree. It was a positive time. I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone's cute. Everyone's scary, but also cool. They're doing their stuff and their things.
Yeah. I think it's fun to watch what was entertaining then.
Mm-hmm.
And to see, like, these things on screen, like to see Frankenstein,
mm-hmm,
after like talking so much about it, and then, you know, seeing Dracula. Not that I've read Bram Stoker's, but I'm sure it's great. We didn't do him. We did H.P. Lovecraft instead.
Yeah,
which was my choice. I don't know anything about Stoker
other than the things that we now know.
Yes. So, but I knew about Lovecraft, so I chose him. So. But came for a full circle because they did a film.
Yeah,
it was kind of like it. So it's coming together because this is the last episode of our classic horror series.
So sorry to see you go.
Yeah, it's going to be a surprise because you're like, what? There's still like a week left of October. Guys, what are you doing? You said all October. Well, too bad. You'll find out later.
You don't get to see my really over-exaggerated creepy smile, but I'm doing it.
Yeah, she's very happy.
You don't know.
So yours is
secrets.
Sex Fire too.
Yeah.
Cool. And how do you feel about the film Dracula and the film The Black? No, what did we watch? The Raven.
I love The Raven. I thought that was great. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
It was so absurd.
And I love Dracula too. Like they were great. Like not because I thought they were scary, but because it was a lot of absurd stuff happening, and that's my favorite thing.
Yeah.
I was just like, what? Why? But like in the best way. It was just like, oh my gosh.
Loved it.
This is fantastic.
10 points to them. It was, yeah, I agree. I think Dracula was good. I think you could really see why it's so important. And I just thoroughly enjoy watching them on screen.
Yeah.
I like even with Bela being essentially Dracula all the time. Like I want to see Dracula all the time.
Yeah,
I
he's
see
just Bela like a really entertaining actor.
Be attractive and lure people. Like I'm here. I'm lured. You got me. Where are we going?
I watched this
my
movie
bags
again.
Are packed. I don't know where you are. A god. I don't know what are the initiation words. How do I get here?
Dance naked in the forest. Done.
Done. Here I am. Sold. Thank you, Black Phillip.
Delivered.
Yeah.
Yours.
And then with Karloff, it's like, oh, you sweet baby angel.
You're beautiful. Don't you say that. Don't you let them tell you you're not beautiful.
Because we're beautiful no matter what they say. Yep.
Yeah.
That's my song to him.
You touch
beard,
his face.
No beard. Weird.
Beards can bring you down.
Oh, no.
Don't you bring them down today. I don't know if that's what the words were.
I think so.
Probably. It's close. That was close.
So, Karloff, we love you. You're handsome, too.
yeah.
In, like, a really endearing, charming, cute way. Honestly, if we were going to end up home with anyone, I would definitely have ended up home with Karloff.
That's fair.
Like, they're objectifying women in all these films, so we're allowed to objectify them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think is the rules.
Maybe? I don't know.
Because it's the 1930s.
Yeah.
Rules are gone. So.
This is real time travel. So I'm dead.
Yeah. We got one more week of being time traveled. Of us being in the past. And then we
come
back to the present. And yeah, we have a whole nother round of a series for the month of November, for my birthday month.
But it's a surprise.
Yeah, you'll learn more when it happens. But we love you guys and hope you enjoyed these two folks, these monsters.
Yeah. And we love you.
We did the monster mash.
We love you.
It was a monster mash.
We love you.
Okay.
Well, I said we love you, creepy.
Remember, guys.
That means it's real.
I am a god.
Don't get married, they eat your kids.
Okay, bye.
Bye.